You're listening to the King's Church Podcast. Visit us online at kingswisbeach.org.uk.
Good morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We've been looking at what we call the Beatitudes. And this morning I'm looking at verse 11. Which, I'll tell you something profound, follows on from verse 10, which Keith talked about last Sunday. Let me read verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this morning the focus is, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When I was training in the Salvation Army for Christian ministry, they took us on a visit to a building which literally was condemned, but we were allowed to go in. It was called Clapton Congress Hall, and it used to be the barracks, and it really was the barracks, cells and communal washing and cleaning, but it was the barracks where in earlier generations they'd trained Salvation Army officers. But now it was a condemned building, and soon after it was pulled down. But it was the location where they held the funeral of William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. And at his funeral, the whole of the city of London was brought to a standstill. So many people lined the streets to mark his passing. But they held the funeral service in Clapton Congress Hall. And for me, it was an emotional moment. They stood us as trainee ministers, cadets there, and we stood where William Booth's coffin had laid. And we sang together a song we sang in the Salvation Army, which said, I'll be true, Lord, to thee. I'll be true, Lord, to thee, and whatever may befall, I will surely conquer all if I'm only true to thee. And this morning, that's the message, that whatever may befall us in life, the Lord is calling us to be faithful. And I've labeled this, if you looked at the information sheet, the reward of faithfulness. And here Jesus is giving advance notice that if our faith is lived out, not a private personal thing, but a public declaration of our faith in our community, then some of the things that will befall us will be testing, uncomfortable, very trying for our faith. So when we've looked through the Beatitudes, we've seen how God calls us to live in the right way in God's eyes. I just need to make a note here that when we face what some people might call persecution, that it's not because of our wrong behavior. We are actually, you deserve your comeuppance. I had a friend when I played badminton, a guy I got on very well with, and he was a travelling rep. I think he worked for some hobby magazines. He used to travel the country and try to find locations before the days of sat-nav. And so he used a map. And he was out and about trying to find where the location of this business. And the car behind him kept blaring the horn. And he was going along, because you're traveling slowly because you're trying to find the way. And this horn kept blaring, and he was getting really knocked off with this guy behind. As if, you know, I'm trying to find my way, and he's saying, get out the way. And blah, blah, and he was getting really cross until he realized he'd put his map on the driving wheel, and it was his own map which was sending off his own horn. Now, I spoke to Alan, that's illegal, but so when sometimes we're disciplined and we perceive it as persecution. As a teenager, I got sacked from quite a few jobs, and rightly so, because I was a bad employee. So don't let's confuse discipline from the Lord or from other people as persecution. What Jesus is talking about here is when we face trials and persecution, because of me, because I'm living rightly and righteously in God's eyes. Last week, Keith spoke very well, and if you haven't heard the sermon, it's on you on the website on YouTube, on just being right can cause us problems. But here Jesus is being very specific that we face these persecutions, insults, kinds of evil spoken against us because of him, because of me. And he's saying this contrary, putting together these trouble and blessedness. And Jesus says, blessed are you when people behave like that to you. And we've talked all through these Beatitudes what blessed is. And it's not a temporary happiness. It's knowing the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. That pleasure of God, which is communicated to us. And the Lord says very specifically to his disciples, you are blessed when people insult you, persecute you, say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So when he's calling people to be disciples, he tells them the truth. They hated me, they're going to hate you. And we do get insulted. Let me give you contemporary examples. People, situations that I know have happened recently, have happened in my lifetime. People insult us Christians. People have said to us, you're simple-minded, you're weak-minded. You can't think things through for yourself. And you're very gullible. Science has disproved it all. Come on. Just go with the current thinking. People say that we're in it for power or money or domination of people. Some people say, and they think they're insulting us when they say, you only need faith because you need a crutch, because you can't manage. Well, actually, that's true. We do need, because we're people who can't manage without God. But they think they're insulting us by saying that. My cousin, when he was in national service, when he knelt down to pray his prayers by his bed in the dormitory where all the other soldiers were, they threw boots at him. And that's how sometimes people are treated, because their faith is lived out. They say all kinds of evil against you. And the charges, we know them, we've heard them, that we're racist, we're homophobic. It was said of Jesus, actually, all this weird stuff that's going on, it's demonic, it's satanic. You're undermining the values of our society. You don't confront wrong, you just preach love and forgiveness and brush things under the carpet. Now, if some of those things are true, that we're in it for power and money and domination, then rightly we deserve any condemnation or discipline that comes from the Lord. But it can lead, and we prayed this morning for those in the persecuted church, it can lead for very dire consequences for some people. We know in this country some people are denied employment or promotion because they won't deny their faith. In countries around the world, people lose their homes. Their homes are burnt to the ground, or their church buildings are razed because it's a place of Christian faith. In this country, people have been arrested for praying on the street. Recently, a woman was reprimanded for singing Christian songs on the street. Well, that'd be an interesting Good Friday, wouldn't it? We'll sing even louder. Or preaching and declaring what the Bible says, and the police come along and say, you can't say that. We've had in our church here people who have had to flee their country because they've embraced the Christian faith and have been told, it is not safe for you to live here. You will be arrested and imprisoned. I've had friends who've been killed because of their Christian faith. I know of people who've been totally disowned and alienated from their family because they became a Christian. We find the pressure that we're not allowed to wear the signs or the symbols of our Christian faith. And Jesus says, if that happens to you, do you know what? You're blessed. People want to take things away from you, but God, who is a good, good God, they want to rob you of your right to employment or your status or your home or your life. What God says, I'm going to give you more, because nobody can outgive God. Do you remember when they stoned Stephen? They dragged him outside and stoned him to death. And the witness was that his face shone like an angel. He was receiving their retribution, their condemnation, but the Lord was bestowing glory on him. And so when Jesus is teaching, he says, this is going to be the norm. This is how it can be for Christians. You might have to suffer insults. People will say nasty things about you or to you. They might even say things which are saying that you're actually involved in something dangerous and bad. They might even take it to physical or mental affliction that they impose upon you. But Jesus says, that's how it's going to be in this world. I've got on my wall a card here. It's a cartoon. I need to describe it to you. Down here is a man feeling very despondent and sad, and he's sitting out in the rain. There's a man with the umbrella, walking quite happily, sheltered from the rain. And this is what the cartoon says. The rain, it shineth on the just, and also on the unjust fella, but chiefly on the just, because the unjust hath the just's umbrella. And the unjust do try to take things away from those who are just. But that will only happen if our faith is made known to other people. If we are being the salt and light, which Fiona will talk about in the next section on the Beatitudes. If our faith is private and secret and nobody knows I'm a Christian, and it never has an impact on my family, on my work, in the society, the community level, they didn't know I was a Christian, you are safe from all trouble. But if you wear your heart on your sleeve and your faith is worked out, then at some point this will happen. Because we're different. And that's what happened to Jesus, didn't it? He went about doing good, healing all manner of illness and delivering people from all sorts of oppression. And yet they insulted him. In common language, they called him a bastard. At least we know who our parents are. We're not sure about his parentage. They said his work was demonic. When they arrested him, they mocked him. They we'll blindfold you and slap you. Now tell us who hit you. And they bowed down and did a mock enthronement. Hail King. And then they crucified him. And on the cross they said, okay, Messiah, you saved other people. Now let's see you save yourself. Come down. And so here was the perfect man, subject to the insults and ridicule and persecution of the world. Paul served that as well. Paul, who was Saul when he was chasing Christians, and he had a warrant from the authorities to go and arrest Christians, these new followers of the way, and put them in prison. And then Jesus met him on the Damascus Road. He was blinded for a while, went to meet with some believers, and his faith was restored. And the scripture says that God said to Saul, who has now become Paul, I'm going to show you how much you must suffer for the faith. And the one who had been bringing suffering to the Christians is now himself going to be the subject of persecution. And after being in Damascus for a little while, there was a plot now to kill Paul. And he had to be lowered in a basket over the wall at Damascus and run for his life. Well, it's not like that here, is it? We don't have to run for our life and escape the persecution, but it certainly is in many parts of the world. Many are fulfilling what the scripture says, that they loved not their life unto death, and they gave their lives for Jesus. But we do see the signs here, the signs of the opposition of the gospel, and some sense that the days are not too far in the future when it well could be like that here. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do about that? When the pressure comes, people are rude to me, they're hostile to me, not because I'm an awkward character, but because I'm a Christian. Well, let me quote what John Stott says in his commentary, because Jesus says, "Rejoice and be glad." Oh no. Trouble comes and Jesus says, "I want you to rejoice and be glad." John Stott says a few things. Certainly don't retaliate. Do not pay evil for evil, but overcome evil for good. Don't sulk. Not fair. Why am I being treated like that? Don't retreat and hide away. I'm not doing that again. Nor is it just grin and bear it. Well, that's what happens to Christians. And certainly don't pretend that we enjoy it. Get the hero's badge. Look what I've been through. Jesus says, "I want you to rejoice and be glad." Not because of the trials and tribulations you're going through, but because, what does he say? If you read it with me, "Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven." Well, here's something new for some of you, maybe. The Bible, and certainly Jesus, is not embarrassed about talking about rewards. Now, some people think, oh, well, you know, is it because I've worked and, you know, it's a payoff because I've been so good? No. The Bible talks about Christians being rewarded. And he says that reward is stored up in heaven. So our eyes are not fixed on what is temporary, the things that we're enjoying now, but on the eternal. If you read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, throughout it, Jesus is talking about his followers being rewarded. Later on in his parables, he says that if, as a believer, you give a cup of cold water to one of my children, you will not certainly lose your reward. And in the this gets very personal for me, because without repeating our whole story, but the Lord called Fiona and myself to follow him. And it meant us losing our home, our job, everything. And one of the verses that God gave to us, this is what Jesus says to his disciples: "No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail." Do you know what it says? "Will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." God is good. He rewards those who are diligent and faithfully follow him. This is my award. I've got 5 of them. From Newton Bowles Club. Okay, well done. And this one was for Wodeman's Single Shields. The winner was Clive Butcher in 2023. In the club, nobody knows who Wodeman is. That was my award for beating everybody else in the Bowls Club. But Jesus is not talking about award. You know, we'll just give a... He's talking about reward. I'm going to add something to your life. I'm going to give you more than you ever had. I want to give you about 5 things to really encourage you and strengthen you. Do you know, if we've been faithful and it's been tough to be a Christian, when we stand before God, we can stand before him unashamed. And you will get the approval of God. Now, we've got quite a few friends who, because of our age group, they're dying, and Fiona gets a bit uppity about this, because everybody is always quoting, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And she says, no, it's not for us to say that. It's God who gives that commendation. When we stand before him, we say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It is Mother's Day. So we have three children. Fiona amazingly got three cards. They all remembered. So I brought them this morning because when she opened them, it just reminded me of this truth. So in this one, it says to Mum, "Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for all you've done and continue to do." Now, as families, we appreciate what we do for each other. It's right to say thank you. And thank you, I really appreciate that. Do you not think your Father in heaven, when you meet him, he's going to say, "Well, of course, you only did what you meant to do, you know." Do you not think we have a God who says, "Well, thank you. Thank you for staying faithful. Thank you for being true." Paul talks about, well, when he's writing to Timothy, he sensed the end of his life has come, and Paul was executed. He lost his life because of his testimony about Jesus. And he said, "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." Why? Because he says, "I fought the fight. I kept the faith. I finished the race." And in a sense, that crown of righteousness, it's the winner's laurel crown, that you got to the end, you made it through. And when we get to that place, that we've maintained our faith, again, this may not sit comfortably with everybody, but I do believe it's scriptural, we'll be vindicated. It will be seen that we were right. Now, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is God's vindication that when he was crucified, the people said, "You're a fraud, you're a blasphemer, we're condemned, we need to get rid of you." And so they rubbished him in the most cruel way and crucified him. The resurrection is God saying, "He is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's done the job I sent him to do." And when, in the final accounting day, and for all those who've been rubbished and ridiculed and cast aside by the world, God will vindicate his people. Do you know, it's what the post office sub-postmasters are wanting. They were wrongly condemned, and all they want is somebody to say in law, "You were right, you were wrongly accused." They'll be vindicated. God will do that for his people. Here's two more things. Here's one of the great rewards. I don't know if you want any more work. I don't know if you want any more responsibility. But when, as we sang, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." When the kingdom comes on earth, God is going to need people to work within that kingdom, to administer his kingdom on earth. And Jesus, it's the words of Jesus, he says, "If you've been faithful in small things, in the new kingdom, I'm going to give you responsibility for greater things." And so we can be workers with Jesus, just as the disciples were in his days on earth, bringing the kingdom of God to bear on earth. Does that excite you? Does that excite you? That God has called us, and the work he's called us to, whatever the cost, whatever the trial, tribulation, if we are faithful to the God's calling in our life, he said, "I can trust you. I can trust you, and I'm now going to give you greater responsibility." And maybe the greatest thing is, when we see him face to face, our greatest reward we'll be able to say to him, I did it for you. I did it for you, Jesus. Because I recognize what you did for me. I recognize that what you suffered, what you endured, what you went through for me. So I want to make this the offering of my life to you. As Paul says, that we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, whatever may befall, because we do it for Jesus. When I was a young, well, what was I, 20, 21, something like that, when I stood in Clapton Congress Hall and sang those words, I'll be true, Lord, to you. Whatever may befall, I'll surely conquer all if I'm only true to you. I have to say, I haven't lived that out perfectly. But the heart's intention is to do that. Now, not scaremongering, I'm being honest, according to the scriptures, the days aren't going to get tough. It's going to be tougher in the coming years to be a Christian in this country. And what Jesus is saying is, will you be faithful? Just as he was faithful in all God's household, faithful to what God had called him to be. And Jesus, God could say to him, you're my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Our heart's desire, our heart's intention, Lord, in response to your great love, I want to set my course to be faithful to you. And it would be a privilege to live and serve you in this world, whatever the cost. It says the reward is in heaven. Well, if Jesus comes before we die, we'll meet him in the air, and we won't go to that heaven. But heaven is the place where God rules. And there is reserved in God's rule for us rewards for his faithful people. And he says, if you are like that, it's just like the prophets who went before you who were persecuted. And if you read the Old Testament, just about everyone who brought the word of God to the nation of Israel, they suffered for it. Says you're following in that prophetic train. And for us as the people of God, what he calls us to be is to be the prophetic voice of God in our world. And to do that will be costly. But Jesus, when he was talking to Peter about it, what it would cost for him to be a disciple, and he said, Satan wants to sift you, it's going to be tough, and all sorts of things. He didn't tell him precisely what would happen, but he gave him enough advance warning that, this is going to be costly. And then Jesus says, but I've prayed for you. And as a church, we have the confidence that the Lord has not abandoned us. He prays for us, and he wants us as the people of God together to stand together. So when one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one suffers, what happens? We share together in that suffering, and we say, together we can get through this. So I want to encourage you. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Don't look at the temporary, look at the eternal. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Set your light so that it may give light to all who see you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.